today the bhikkhus and the bhikkhunis and all of you lay people here gathered here due to our faith in the dispensation of the Lord Buddha. We are very close now to the celebration of the Vaisakha Puja, which is an important day in Buddhism. The day of Vaisakha is the full moon day in May. Is the day that the Buddha himself was born, and also he died on that day, and his enlightenment also took place on the full moon day in May. The Buddha, he lived out his life in the forest. He was born in the forest. He attained enlightenment in the forest, and also he died within the forest. And it has now been close to 2,600 years since the Buddha passed away. And since the passing away of the Buddha, then it is now up to the monks, the nuns, novices, seminaries, and the lay people to continue on with the teaching of the Buddha. The taking birth of a Buddha is something extremely hard to come by in this world. For each Buddha, before they could actually attain full enlightenment, they had to develop the 10 spiritual perfections to a great deal. After the Buddha's enlightenment, he laid down his teaching, which is called the Dhamma Vinaya, which is his teachings on Dhamma and also the Vinaya Code of Discipline for monks. And this is extended down to us into this present age. The essence of the Buddha's teaching is that he taught us to avoid all that is evil, to develop goodness in abundance, and to purify one's mind. And this purification takes place through the practice of Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, which is moral virtue, concentration, and wisdom. When we wish to develop ourselves in accordance with the teaching of the Buddha or any of his arahant disciples, then we must consequently come about and develop this practice of cultivating all of these 10 spiritual perfections. And this starting right off from the development of what is called the Dana Barami, that of generosity, the perfection of Sila, moral virtue, and also the spiritual perfection of renunciation. And then there is also the perfection of wisdom, the perfection of patient endurance, and also the perfection of effort. And there's also the spiritual perfection of satya, truthfulness, honoring one's word, and also the perfection of loving kindness and equanimity. Each and every Buddha had to develop all of these 10 spiritual perfections until they were complete. And their arahant disciples also followed the same path of practice. However, the degree of intensity to which they developed these was lesser. Therefore, wishing to develop these spiritual perfections in our own practice, we must follow the teaching of the Buddha, the example that he set for us in his own practice. The Dana Barani, this perfection of generosity, it is namely that of giving. The Sila Barani, the perfection of moral virtue, this starts off with the keeping of the 5 moral precepts. For some may be keeping 8 precepts, others 10 precepts, or going on further to the 227 precepts of a fully ordained monastic. The spiritual perfection of Nekama, which is the perfection of renunciation, this starts off when we start giving up or turning away, lessening our work and duty so that we can give more time to practicing Dhamma. The perfection of patient endurance is the development of this quality where we are willing to endure with all kinds of hardships, whether it be the heat, the cold, and many other things that we must experience in our lives. The perfection of effort. If one is a lay person, then one must have effort to go about how they live their life and to go about their work and duties. For anybody living in the monastery, then they need to keep applying effort to their practice. The perfection of truthfulness. This is honoring one's word. Whatever you say, then you are true to your word. You do as you say. The perfection of adhitana, or making of resolution, being resolute. This is the setting of goals in one's practice, and thereby doing what is necessary to achieve one's goals. For example, setting the goal as the highest achievement of attaining nibbana, and therefore going about this practice of keeping moral virtue, practicing concentration, and cultivating wisdom. these are the causes necessary to achieve the highest goal of nirvana. And so when one establishes a goal, we must put in the causes to achieve that goal. The barani of metta, the perfection of loving kindness or goodwill and friendliness. We should have this quality of goodwill and friendliness to our friends and to other people and all living beings. And this should be boundless in its extent. The final perfection is that of equanimity. And sometimes in our lives we are completely unable to be of any help or assistance to people who are needing it. And so we have to know how to be equanimous in that situation. Or even for ourselves, sometimes one's mind may be very restless or agitated. And we need to know what we have to do to make our mind centered and be objective and equanimous. When the Buddha himself made a resolution to be a future Buddha, then it was necessary that he had to abstain from performing any bad or unwholesome actions and to start developing all of these spiritual perfections. The development of these spiritual perfections will depend upon time, place and opportunity as to which particular perfection is able to be cultivated at that point in time. However, in summary, the development of all of these 10 spiritual perfections comes down to the practice of keeping moral virtue, developing concentration and cultivating wisdom within one's mind. For example, all of you coming here today, coming to offer food and listen to the Dhamma, this is the development of the Dana Barani, because you've had to give up things to actually come and be here. And also you need determination to actually come here. So this is another quality that you are developing. Also, being here today, you have requested the 5 precepts. And so this is developing the quality of moral virtue. One must therefore endeavor for at least for this one day to maintain all of these 5 precepts. And in requesting these precepts, one must have this quality of truthfulness, this wish to honor them. And so one is also developing this quality in combination with developing the perfection of moral virtue. The maintaining of good moral behavior is a way of keeping one's actions of body and speech peaceful and calm, and there will be no harm or no suffering coming to one through one's actions and speech. Meaning that we will be keeping 4 of the 5 precepts. We will be abstaining from killing living creatures, abstaining from taking that which has not been given to us, abstaining from sexual misconduct, and also abstaining from intoxicating drink and drugs which lead to carelessness. And with regards to speech, we will be abstaining from false speech, and as a consequence our speech will be peaceful and calm. Therefore, this is why we say the keeping of moral precepts is a way of cooling and pacifying our actions of body and speech. Yet even though we keep these moral precepts, one may see that within one's heart or mind, that the mind is still unpeaceful. There may be great restlessness and agitation within the mind. And therefore, we have to find out what we have to do to make our mind peaceful, to rid the mind of this agitation. If we think or believe that this mind is our own, then it is necessary that we have to try and find a way to tame the mind, to bring it under control. I always say that elephants, they can be trained, horses can be broken, and dogs, they can even be domesticated. So why is it that we cannot go about training our own minds? And if we do not wish to have our heart be a slave or a servant to the places of greed, anger and delusion, then it is necessary that we bring our awareness, our mindfulness, to focus upon a meditation object so as to concentrate the mind. And we can focus upon any object of meditation which is suited to our character. Through the continuous focusing of our awareness upon a meditation object, the mind will become concentrated. And due to the strength of concentration, this will give rise to mindfulness and wisdom. When we use our moral virtue as a way to keep our actions and speech peaceful, and the practice of concentration to make our minds peaceful, then the mindfulness and wisdom which arises from concentration will seek out the mental defilements or any suffering that are within the mind, so as to abandon these from the mind. For suffering, unhappiness and discontent, it does not arise outside of us, it arises here within one's own heart. And so we must have mindfulness and wisdom, always keeping a watch, keeping guard over the heart. When our mindfulness and wisdom is able to see that suffering has arisen within the heart, then we have to seek out its cause and look for whatever means or way of practice is necessary so as to abandon the suffering that has arisen. We should never let greed, anger, and suffering take control over the heart. Having moral virtue as a foundation for our practice upon which we establish concentration, then the mindfulness and wisdom that arises from concentration will be used to guard over one's heart and to search out and abandon any suffering and any of the mental defilements of greed, anger, and delusion that are still residing within the mind. If we can always maintain our mindfulness and wisdom to keep a steady watch over the mind, then we will be aware when suffering arises, and we will know what we have to do, what path of practice we have to follow to let go of this suffering. It is normal that for we people that ignorance and delusion has taken control over our minds, and as a consequence, we will attach to and believe in that the emotions of greed and anger or satisfaction and dissatisfaction are oneself. And there is nothing that once attached to by the mind will not be a cause of suffering for us. If the mind is always attaching and clinging to any emotions of greed and anger or suffering that arise within the mind, this will always be an endless source of suffering for us. Yet if we frequently practice concentration, and this will give rise to mindfulness and wisdom, then we will be able to see and be aware of whatever is arising within the mind, and to be able to keep abreast of all the thoughts, moods, and emotions when they occur. Whenever we have any kind of sensory contact, this will always give rise to a consequent feeling of satisfaction or dissatisfaction or indifference. If we have mindfulness and wisdom, we will be able to see when these emotions arise, and we will be able to step back from them or to detach from them and see that this satisfaction, dissatisfaction, is merely a temporary state. It arises and it ceases all by itself. If we use our mindfulness and wisdom to frequently guard and protect the mind and to reflect upon the emotions that arise within it and let them go, then the mind will be free from thoughts, moods, and emotions. Having mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom firmly established in the present moment, we will see all of our mental impressions and the thoughts and emotions that arise. And we will see these clearly and recognize that they are merely conditions of the mind. That's all they are. Therefore, it is necessary that we have to strengthen our mindfulness and wisdom so that we can take control over our own hearts. And when we do this, we will, as a consequence, think in wholesome ways and therefore speak and act in wholesome ways too. The mind will always attach to and identify with the body as being oneself due to ignorance. The mind will attach to the body as being oneself, and then whenever the body is afflicted with sickness, this will be a source of suffering for us. As the body ages, this will cause us suffering too, and as the body degenerates and is about to die, this will also be a source of suffering for us. For most people, when they are feeling sick, this will disturb their mind. And when the body is about to break apart or to die, then this will even disturb the mind even more so. Therefore, we have to use our mindfulness and wisdom to search out the truth and see whether the body and the mind are one and the same thing or not. If this body was truly our own, under our command, then whenever sickness arises in the body, we would be able to tell the body to get better. And as the body ages, we would then be able to tell the body to be youthful again. And as the body is about to die, we would also be able to command the body to remain living longer. Yet if we use our mindfulness and wisdom, we will see that we are not able to make the body be as we would wish it to be. And therefore, we should be able to see that we have no command over the body. The mind has no command over the body. So the mind and the body are separate entities. Seeing that we are unable to control the body or have command over the body, then we should just go about looking after the body as best as we can. Delusion exists within the minds of all beings, and it is due to delusion that we humans we have this fear of death, yet really we should not fear death, because everybody that is born must ultimately face death. If we have a fear of death, then we should try to practice like the Buddha did, and that is, one should therefore try not to be born again. If one does not want to die, then it is important that you do not take birth again. The Buddha, he found the path of practice so as not to take birth again, and that is to develop the 10 spiritual perfections, or in summary, the development of moral virtue, concentration, and wisdom. For practicing in this way will completely eradicate all greed, anger, and delusion from our hearts, and we will transcend suffering and realize nirvana. This is the way of practice so as not to take birth again. Therefore, everybody that takes birth, there is nobody who can escape from sickness, escape from aging, and escape death. To practice reflecting upon death, we do not do so as to give rise to fear within our hearts. We do so as to make us heedful and not be careless in how we go about living our lives. We have this opportunity to take human birth and to meet with the teaching of the Buddha. This is a wonderful opportunity which is very hard to come by. And here in Canada, the extent to which Buddhism is present is very small. And there are many other countries in the world in which it is the same. And being like this will cause the majority of people in those countries to seek out pleasure or enjoyment through experiencing happiness through sensory pleasures and material pleasures. And go about seeking out happiness through wealth, honor, and praise, because people think that to achieve these things is true happiness. And therefore people will only think about seeking out happiness externally or through material means. No matter how much any country is developed materially, it is still not able to bring an end to the suffering to bring an end to the greed, anger, and suffering within the hearts of the people living in that country. For in truth, everybody wishes for happiness. There is nobody who wishes for unhappiness or suffering. Yet in truth, the seeking out of happiness through material objects, this is not the way of practice to achieve true happiness or to go beyond suffering. And even though you're living here in a country where Buddhism is not so prevalent, you still have this intention to come here and practice generosity by offering dana, and also to come and keep the moral precepts and listen to the teaching of the Lord Buddha. Yet you do this would show that you will most likely have some wholesome conditioning carrying through from past lives, and when the time is right, it will make you wish to go about developing yourself further through this spiritual practice. Therefore the Buddha, he taught us to seek out or to find the way of practice for the complete transcendence of all greed and anger and suffering that exists within our hearts. And this we do by cultivating all of these wholesome spiritual qualities in abundance. For lay people, they can develop the perfection of sila, morality, by keeping the 5 moral precepts. And if at times one has a greater determination to keep more precepts, to having more strength in their heart, then they could go about keeping the 8 precepts. The strength of keeping these moral precepts will mean that we will be seeking, there will be no harm coming to us through any unwholesome actions of body and speech. We can further develop peacefulness through the practicing of concentration. And having developed concentration, achieving concentration, this gives rise to the strength of mindfulness and wisdom. With the strength of moral virtue, concentration, and wisdom, this will give rise to right view, to see that this body is merely comprised of the elements of earth, water, air, and fire that come together temporarily. And then, having come together, they break apart and return back to their original elemental state. And when the mind can see the impermanence and absence of self of this body, then we'll go about living our lives in a very careful or thoughtful way, and just keep going about developing ourselves spiritually. We'll have the mindfulness, wisdom, and right view to see that all of the mental impressions, thoughts, moods, and emotions, all of these things are merely conditions of the mind, they arise and they cease. And when we have this mindfulness and wisdom to see that not only our own body, but the bodies of other people and all material objects, they are of a nature to come into existence, to they are born, they come into, and they exist for a while, and then they break apart. And then when the mind clearly sees this, the mind will start to let go of its attachment towards all things. And as a consequence, greed, anger, and delusion will gradually begin to subside. Therefore, all of us should have patience, endurance, and keep putting forth effort to give up anything which is unwholesome within our heart, having the patience and the effort to go about developing one's heart in accordance with the teaching of the Lord Buddha. And this will create the causes and conditions for one to experience happiness both here in the present and also in the future. And this is also creating the causes and conditions for the lessening of one's future rebirths and as such until we ultimately reach nirvana. And as lay people, you should all go about doing your work duties and responsibilities to the best of your ability. And the duty that we have to ourselves to develop our own minds, then we should go about doing this as best as we can too. And we do this through this practice of keeping moral virtue, practicing concentration and cultivating wisdom. And through this practice of moral virtue, concentration and wisdom, the moral virtue will be making one's actions and speech peaceful. Concentration makes the mind peaceful. And with wisdom, we achieve even greater peace as we start letting go of the mental defilements. Always try to have mindfulness, keeping a continual watch over your mind. And that whenever mindfulness slips, then re-establish it again. Always have mindfulness watching over whatever you are doing, through your work, duties, responsibilities, or any activity. Be mindful of what you are doing. And whenever you have free time, then use your mindfulness to focus upon your meditation object and to reflect and to mindfully watch and reflect upon the body and the mind. With mindfulness and wisdom, we can see whatever arises within the mind, and this will enable us to filter out all that is unwholesome from the mind. And we keep practicing like this in each and every instant that these unwholesome thoughts arise. And in doing so, we will make the mind free from all thoughts, moods, and emotions. And once having been made free from thoughts and emotions, we can then take up the body for investigation and reflect upon the body so as to see its impermanence and absence of self. Whenever one has free time, then one should always try to make the time to practice in the formal postures of sitting or walking in meditation. And if one does this frequently, this will give rise to peacefulness. And so for today, I offer just this much for you to reflect upon. May I end this talk here.